Some of the guys are going to be passing out the plan of work for 2014. We're 4 weeks into the year. At this time every year, we try to go through a plan of work that we have discussed and looked at for the past year, and then talk about some things that we want to do for the coming year. We'd like for each family to have one. We'd like for each family to limit yourselves to just one right now so that we know we have enough. We have at least 12 families worshiping with us now that were not worshiping with us this time last year. We've got 14 or 15, maybe 16 baptisms this past year. And so we've got several people with us now that this will be a new thing to them. We want to be sure that everybody has a copy, every family has a copy, so that you can read over it. I would suggest that you, sometime this week, lay it next to the chair where you sit most of the time, or your bedside, or wherever you do some reading, and read through it from cover to cover before the week is over, to kind of refresh yourselves of the things that we talked about tonight. Maybe better understand them once we stumble around up here tonight trying to explain them. And then look at the plan of work periodically. Look at it through the year. See if we're doing, as a congregation, see if we're doing the work that we plan to do. Planning doesn't do anything good unless we work the plan, as the saying goes. So I encourage you to look at the plan of work, especially the calendars and the other things, the programs that are planned. Encourage you to be a part of that. Most everyone can see a copy. We're not going to read it to you, but we do want to point out two or three things to you. If you look on page 8, raise your hand if you cannot see a copy that's coming your way. Now raise your hand if you cannot see a copy. I think we've got them all out there. Let me encourage you to look over the section there on page 8, the year in review. Just kind of remind you of the kind of year we've had, things, events, and so forth that we've had. Like I said, we've had, if I counted correctly here, 15 baptisms. We have at least a dozen families or individuals who have identified with the congregation here or have just moved. And I might remind you to add to those on page 9, those that are new, the Summers. They're not on that list. Kate and Amy and the boys. And then the Renfros. Add them to your list as well. And if I looked at it correctly, Emily Elkins was left off. She's been with us all year, so put Emily's name on there as well. On page 10, we've lost several of our families. Several of our members have lost family members this year. And we've lost a couple of our dear members ourselves. We've lost Brother Sam Mays back in July. We're still missing him. He was of value to us. And it's not on the list because this list was compiled from October 12th to September of this past year. But please add Jeanette Gallagher. She passed away November the 23rd, I think. And I don't know of a more valuable member of the congregation here through the years. She was here for about 50 years, and she meant an awful lot to the congregation as we grew up in the congregation, I think. She was a Bible class teacher of mine and probably some of you as well. So add Jeanette to that as well. Now let me mention just a moment there on page 30. Let me move to the attendance. You have a graph there of our goal for the attendance. As you can see the graph, you may not be able to make it out, but you decipher the numbers as you go to them, I guess. In the year 2013, we averaged 78% of our members at all the services that were at the morning worship. That was our goal. And we averaged that. And then, I think in last year, we averaged 206 for the morning worship, 167 for Bible class, 168 for evening worship, and 163 for Wednesday nights. Now, for most congregations, that's quite a record. 78% is very good. We appreciate your faithfulness and your attendance. We're shooting for a little bit more in 2014. We would like to have 85% at all the services that is at the morning worship. That's 185 at all services. Now, that seems like a little bit more jump. This year, these first 4 weeks of the year, we've had 245 average of morning worship, 201 average at Bible class Sunday morning and evening worship, and a Wednesday night 190. That's very good. We appreciate that, and we compliment you for that and encourage you to keep the attendance on a regular basis. The other thing that I want to mention before I sit down is the Visitation Fellowship Program. That's on page 44 of your plan of work. Our visitation program went very good this last year. We kind of cranked it up at the beginning of the year. Went very good, had good participation. Our goals at that time were to get used to visiting one another, to fellowship, get to know one another better, and to visit our members, to visit each other, and that went very well. I think that was a success. This year, we want to try to do that as well. We want to fellowship, but we also want to visit more. We have a goal of trying to visit those that are regular visitors in our community. Visit them very often after they come to see us, and let them know we're glad that they were here. We invite them back. We have several now regular visitors from the community. We'd like to make them feel welcome, encourage them. And the mechanics of it right now are we would like to divide into at least four groups and each group meet once a month. Taking those that have signed up now, we would have about six pairs in each team, which will make it a little bit smaller, a little bit easier to visit with each other. It has been suggested that the teams might want to meet in homes occasionally rather than the fellowship building, and not necessarily on Monday nights, maybe a weeknight. That's fine, too. We'll leave that up to the teams and their leaders, and you may do that ever how you like to do it. It'll be up to those teams. If you have not signed up and want to be a part of that, I invite you to do that tonight on the list so that we can have a record. Not in the plan of work is the singing class that we've mentioned. We're going to try that beginning on the 9th of February. We'll try to go every other Sunday for a while, and we invite you to be a part of that, whether you can sing well, whether you know how to read music, whether you don't know the mechanics at all, and you can't sing, that's okay. We'll have a good time and learn a little bit about singing. And we'll meet at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, every other Sunday. We invite you to be a part of that. If you'd like to sign up for that, you may do it as well. And now I'll let Brother Allen take over.
I'll cover with you the calendar, so turn to page 20. Just going to highlight a few things that are going on this year. Some exciting things that the church will be involved in. We'll start with the Great Smoky Mountain Marriage Retreat that's coming up here in a few weeks. That's on February 12 through 16. That began with just a few couples from Jacksonville and has grown over the years. I think we had between 800 and 900 people in attendance last year, maybe have 1,000 this year. If they let me count, we'll have 1,000 for sure, but we might only have 800 or 900 again. But if you'll go, I know you'll enjoy being there. David Shannon and Eric Owens are the speakers this year. Both of them, of course, have spoken here before and are very capable speakers. And they are especially especially David, is an outstanding marriage teacher. He has conducted several of the classes at Polish in the Pulpit through the years, and his classes are always very popular when he talks about marriage. So if you can come this year, it's just be, you can go in either the early track or the late track. I know some are new here and haven't ever been or know what we're talking about, but it's a trip up to the Great Smoky Mountains, and we rent the Holiday Inn Conference Center. And it grew so much that we couldn't fit everybody in there, so we divided it into two sections that are repeated the same lessons. So if you want to go to the early track, you can go on as early as Wednesday night, and then Thursday night and Friday are the classes, and then it's over Friday afternoon, and you can go out and enjoy the scenery or whatever you want to do in the area, or if you need to come back, you can do that. Or if you need to work and can't get there that early, then the same classes are repeated on Friday night and Saturday and close out Sunday morning at the local congregation at Sevierville. So make your plans to go if you can this year. Get someone to keep the kids, maybe a grandparent, and go up for a couple of days and improve your marriage and spend some time together making memories. The second thing I wanted to highlight is March 16, which is our spring meeting with Michael Shepherd. Michael's been here many times and is a favorite of many in the congregation. He preaches in Pensacola, Florida. He'll be back for our series. In April, we'll highlight the 20th. We have Michael Bonner, who is coming. He has never spoken here before. He preaches in Texas. And I think you will enjoy hearing Michael. He spoke at a lectureship that I also spoke on in Virginia 2 years ago now, and did an outstanding job. I think he will do a good job here. Incidentally, each of these guest speakers, even though we have fewer this year than we've had in previous years, they were all scheduled before we brought Brandon on board. But each of these, I think, will be a good change of pace and have a series of special topics that will be helpful. And May, we'll just highlight the 18th when we host the area-wide here. So be sure that young people note that. In June, we have our Vacation Bible School. Wes Hazel will return, who was our stewardship speaker last year. Everybody really enjoyed him. The elders asked him if he could come back. He worked it out to be the adult speaker in that series. Then we'll notice in August, Polishing the Pulpit will be the 20th anniversary. Last year we had over 3,000 in attendance. We hope we'll set a new record this year. So if you can, if you have a discretion on when you take your vacation, and it's not too late to do so, may we encourage you to consider taking a week's vacation and going up for Polishing the Pulpit in August. That's also in the Great Smoky Mountains area. There are classes for all ages and all works in the church. It started out just for preachers, but now there are classes for elders, deacons, Bible teachers, members, women, teens, children. So anything that you're interested in, you could find some classes there at Polishing the Pulpit this year. September, we'll notice the Ladies' Day on the 13th with Renita Archie. And then Jeff, her husband, will be speaking at the Sunday services on the 14th. November, our fall meeting is with Chuck Webster from Hoover. Chuck has been here in a meeting before. We'll enjoy him. And then December, Stewardship Sunday on the 14th. We did not have confirmation when this was printed, but we do now. Cliff Goodwin will be our speaker on December the 14th, if you'd like to pencil that in. Cliff Goodwin, our speaker on December 14th. The other thing that I'm also supposed to cover is on page 24. I'll just mention our summer series, which is a highlight of the year every year. This year we're going to have the theme, neither to the right nor to the left, staying out of the ditches and staying firmly in the middle of God's Word. And I think there's some really interesting topics that are planned and that will be presented by some very capable speakers. And so I encourage you to note when those lessons will be and make plans this summer to be a part of that series. We had so many topics that we could not fit them all in 1 year, so we went ahead and started the schedule for 2015, and we have some speakers who could not come this year already confirmed for next year, and we will be adding additional speakers on those other topics as that date draws nearer. But you can look over that list, and there may be some things there that will be, I'm sure there are, of interest to you. One more thing I was asked to talk about is the Bible reading program, and that's on page 28. I'd like to encourage all of us as we grow closer to God this year. We spend time reading from the Word of God. I'm sure that you read maybe one plan or a different plan. And however you study the Bible, of course, is up to you. But one way to do it is to read straight through the Scriptures and begin in Genesis and go through Revelation and try to do that every year. I know some members are following what I call the Robert Taylor plan, which is to read the New Testament through once a month and read the Old Testament through once a year. And if you do that, then if you'll stay with it every day, it's not overbearing. But if you get behind, that can be a stringent schedule. This year we're going to do what we've done before, but we're going to add a little bit more to it. There will be the charts and the four-year area where you can check off when you complete a book. But also we're going to have a web page set up. If you'd rather do that electronically from your phone or your computer, then we will have a website set up so that you can keep up with what you've read and mark that as you go through all year. So I wanted to mention that tonight because here we are, the end of the first month already. So if you're going to participate in a year-long Bible reading program and you haven't started, it's not too late, but I'd urge you to start as soon as possible. And if you'll read just four chapters a day, you will complete the Bible in 1 year. Four chapters a day. That's not a lot. If you read nine chapters a day, I think Chance can correct me if I'm wrong, but you could complete the New Testament and every month and the Old Testament once in the year. I know Chance is reading that program this year. So be sure and make a commitment to read the Bible this year. If you want to read straight through, then this is the plan that we're encouraging. But if you have a different plan, just reading the Bible every day is extremely important in the Christian's life. And I'll just mention the prayer cards. I know those were very popular last year. The elders decided to continue that another year. And those are available on the table out here by the women's restroom. And if you will take a card every week, there are 40 cards. And so obviously toward the end of the year, you can repeat a card if you want to. But if you will pray for the names and the programs, what are listed on those cards, you will have prayed for every family and every member of this congregation for a week by the end of the year, as well as every event that we have planned and the goals that have been set. And so that's a good memory tool to help us to keep our prayer lives vibrant and to make sure that we pray for everybody and not just those that we may be the closest to. That's all I have. Thank you.
If you would turn to page 34, is Child Haven. I'd like to read a scripture concerning that. James 1:27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. A few years ago, we started to engaging in our work at Child Haven in a more vigorous plan. Basically what we did throughout the years was once a month send them a donation, which is good. A lot of congregations do that. That's good. But yet, Child Haven is in dire need of more than just a monthly contribution from area churches. Child Haven has at this time, they have nine cottages, and they're only able, because of financing, to only fill up six of those. That does not mean that they don't have the children there that needs those cottages and can use those cottages. They just don't have the finance or the means to support those other cottages. So right now they're having to leave three of those empty. But Jacksonville has taken on a greater responsibility than we have in the past. During the month of November, we visited Child Haven, and we were able to collect canned goods. We got, if you use a family-sized count, we had over 1,000 family-sized canned goods and about 1,000 hygiene, toiletry items that we were able to collect and carry to Child Haven. Also, the children there have a wish list as well as things that they need, and we were able to assist in helping 30 children that live in the Child Haven group homes receive 6 gifts apiece, and we donated cookware to the cottage house parents, which is always a fun time because these house parents sacrifice a lot. And we're also able to, the last week of that month of November, we set aside our contribution, and we're able to carry them a check for $20,000, which they were very appreciative. And also, over 40 of our members here travel to Child Haven to take part and visit with the children, watch them open their gifts, and that's if you've ever been, you know that's a treat. If you have not been, I encourage you to go because it will warm your heart to see them. You will get more out of it than the children get out of it. I promise you that. Also, like to thank Pam Smith, who again took pictures of the children at Child Haven and their families. We had those that one girl was 17 years old and never had a Christmas present, you know. So that's just something that we do there. Proud to say 53 families in the congregation here took part in the giving of the funds for Child Haven, and also had 53 families that also provided the gifts of the children. I know that was a lot on we asked each and every member of the congregation here, but we're fulfilling James 1:27 that we just read a few minutes ago. So I encourage you to look at our program on page 34 and some on 35. We're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to have a month for January. We were to bring 2 family-sized cans of vegetables. Now, we've got grocery carts at each door, and I know most of them are full, but we haven't reached over 200, so we need, if everybody bring 2 cans, we should have over 220 canned goods in those carts. So please do that. February, we will have bottles of cleaning supplies for the kitchen, bathrooms, and the floors, and then so on and so forth down. In November, we have set a goal of $25,000 to give toward the work there. So if you can, and we'll be going up there 4 times a year, because after the first quarter, we'll carry the things that we have collected up there. And if you'd like to go, let us know, and we will see that we make arrangements for you to go and visit with them. Also on page 40, our prison ministry is growing in leaps and bounds. Right now we're working with over 1,800 inmates in 77 correctional institutions. Now that's up to about 95 because each week we get an additional request from others. Doing prison work is not an easy thing because you cannot get into some prisons, cannot get into some county jails to teach because denominational chaplains have control of that, such as Calhoun County, and it's very hard to get your materials in there, and you cannot visit Calhoun County. But in Etowah County, we're able to, Brother Eric Shearer does teaching there, and he does one-on-one teaching there, which is real good. And he's in his group that he teaches has had 4 baptisms this year. But the correspondence course that we're sending out, we send those out 2 at a time to the inmates that request them, and we do that because it saves on postage. They fill them out and send them back. But Sister Carrie Smith does a great job of answering all those, checking off all those questions and making sure they grade them and making sure they get them right, and makes a little comment, puts the correct scripture on that. We wouldn't be able to do it without her, but that has really been a blessing to us. We're right now close to 2,000 inmates that we're correspondent with. Some of them are, we don't get back right offhand because the prisons will not let us, they'll have a lockdown or they will, you know, they open all the mail and censor all of it. So, you know, it may be 2 months before we get it back. And then we have about 500 who are, active, what we call as active inmates that, as quick as you send it out within a week or two, you'll get it back. Right now we're adding on average 8 to 10 a week of new, inmates to our list. Also, we have just started a Hispanic Bible course that we're sending. So many Hispanics out there that's inmates that we're not able to teach. Well, I couldn't teach them, and so and then we had a call from Crestview, Florida, from one of the prison ministers down there. He had no one. I said, well, let's group them together and we'll see what we can do. So we have about 30 now that's Hispanics that are, we're working with, and we got, we wrote Bob Prado and, Marcus into helping us with that. They grade those and then we, send them back. So that is good. We've had, according to our records and the best we know, we had about 12 baptisms in our group by sending out Bible courses. We also have sent a lot. Once we have one who wants to study further, we give that name to the local preacher, one of the local preachers there, and let them follow through with it. And we do have some who have requested baptism. We have sent off and have not heard back. So right now, we finished the year about 12 plus four that Eric was able to teach. Well, we appreciate all those involved in the prison ministry. Last thing that I'd like to go away is just briefly mention financial. I won't go into detail much on that, but our church finances for the year ended with 5.6% above our budget. Our expense for 2014 was 10.2 above budget. This is mainly due to the PTP growing at a faster pace than we had expected. Of course, this will be all set. We get a rebate back from the hotel for the rooms that people book there, and we will get a rebate back, and that should offset it and make us more or less break even on that deal, and that's what we want to do. Our contribution for 2013 averaged $7,322 per week. Our budget and contribution for 2014 is $8,025 per week. We're asking if each family would consider giving $7 more per week, and I know that many of you have already increased your contribution, and we're thankful for that. And so we're asking for those who would consider giving $7 more a week, and that way we'll reach our budget. House income is 1% above budget, and expenses were 1.3 below budget, which is good. And we were able to save some money in house by cutting some expense and cutting back and getting our postage back in line. You know, that year we had quite a bit of problem with the post office, and it cost us extremely a lot of money. So we were able to get that back in line. But guess what? The post office is going up again. So we'll deal with that. And Brother Luke in a little bit will go more into detail on house to house. If you got any questions about the financials, please feel free to ask. Thank you.
All right, at the end of Matthew, Jesus instructed his disciples to go. He didn't tell us how to go. He just told us to go, make disciples of all nations. And so we do that here at Jacksonville through many different methods, but one of the ways we do that is through house to house. For those of you who are new and aren't familiar with House to House, it's a bi-monthly publication of the Churches of Christ. Over 1,000 congregations participate, and we run that here. Alan is the editor of it, and we publish that, and we send it out through direct mail. That goes out, as I said, 6 times a year. This last year, we had several different themes, and our fifth issue, we had the theme of why did the Churches of Christ not use instrumental music. That was our largest issue ever, where we finally broke the goal that we've had for so long, and we got 3 million copies went out into all 50 states in one issue and the District of Columbia. And so I was very happy about that. If you'll turn to page 13, you see the beginning of the results of our mission works. This isn't all just house to house, but a lot of it is. It's also the prison ministry and other efforts we do. It continues on 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. When you get a chance, if you want to be encouraged, take a little bit of time and read through that. It's always an encouragement to me and to our staff. We've now sent out over 169 million copies of House to House over the 20-year period that it's been in operation. It's also important to note that we send that out to everyone in this county all the time. So it should look familiar to just about everyone. Everyone that you meet gets that in their mailbox and should be familiar with the Church of Christ. And so it gives you an opportunity as you see it arrive in your mailbox to talk to your coworkers or your friends and invite them to church as well. Evangelism, this just gives us an evangelistic way to get our foot in the door and get a conversation starter. And there are several articles in the plan of work this year to help you with that as well. We've also concentrated on sending it out worldwide. And House to House has now gone into 43 foreign countries. And those are listed up on the screen and in your plan of work on page 47. And the House to House information starts on page 45 and continues on throughout. And I'm happy to say we've been in every continent except Antarctica. So if you happen to know any researchers that are in Antarctica that we could send 1,000 copies to, it'd be great to knock out all 7 continents. But 1,000 copies would probably take care of the whole population of Antarctica. But I'm excited to get into so many foreign countries. It's in Spanish and English. And we also, if you count the internet, have been in 207 countries. And so, and there's only, it's countries, territories, and colonies, because there's actually only 193 countries recognized by the UN. So there are several dozen territories and colonies. And so if you count all that together, we're in 207 foreign countries. It's exciting because it's our goal to reach the entire world with the gospel in our generation. And I know sending just 1,000 copies into any one country doesn't mean we've reached that entire country, but it's exciting to at least get the gospel into that. And it includes places that we normally would not even be able to go at all, including some Muslim countries. This is Camp Arifjan. That's in Kuwait. I know that Miss Deb is really big into this one, and she's been in contact with them. She probably likes my American flag background too, so that's why I did it just for her. And this is the camp that we use in the Middle East, the Army uses to distribute all of the equipment throughout the Middle East. So that's an aerial view of all the tanks and Humvees and all of that. And there is a Church of Christ there at Camp Arifjan, and we have sent them several thousand copies of House to House, some tracts, and they have grown. It was founded by one of these gentlemen that you see on the screen, and they've had a few baptisms. They've had several restorations. And they were so excited about it all that they sent us an award. Now, the gentleman who started the Church of Christ there at Camp Arifjan has actually moved on to another location, but the church is still going strong with all the people that he restored and baptized there. So we're continuing to do that effort, and we're excited about it. They've also gone from there to send to bases in Iraq and in Afghanistan. So that one effort has expanded house to house into the Middle East, into Muslim countries that we would normally not be able to get in at all. You might remember a few years ago we started the program, I think it was 2007, to send house to house to every home in Alabama. And we completed that project by the end of last year, or the beginning of last year, and we started a pilot project to start sending into Tennessee. At the time, Matt had run the numbers, and we had only been in one county, I think it was Morris County, fully. He's been running that program, and throughout the year we've been doing that. And we're now, I think, covered 28 counties, if I got the numbers right. Is that close? He thinks it's close. Okay. So 28 counties are covered now, and it's our goal to do that within the next few years. So you'll be getting reports about that, and we're excited about it. Also, I just wanted to highlight PTP real quick and put up a couple of pictures of the speakers from last year. And PTP, Alan already talked about it, but I do want to just invite you again to August 22nd through 28th. It's going to be really exciting this year because it's the 20th anniversary, and we're going to definitely do some special things for it this year. So if at all possible, come for the whole week. At least come for the spiritual renewal weekend. You'll definitely be uplifted. There's more than 150 speakers and over 800 classes, so there's definitely things to choose from. I'll turn it over to Chance.
I know why they made the new guy go last, because we're already out of time, so when we go over, I get blamed for it. Let's see how that works. If you look on page 35, just quickly touch on two things that I work closely with. The Jacksonville Christian Student Center, the work of the church here with the college program. We have five goals listed there on page number 35. Just point out those very quickly. These should be familiar to our college students. We've discussed them last semester as we kicked off our work together. Number one, our desire is to be spiritual. From Romans 8 and verse 6, we want to try to incorporate and to instill in the mind of our college students a spiritual mindset. Not emphasizing things which are fleshly and carnal, which Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 leads to death, but emphasizing things which are spiritual, things which are eternal. Those are the things that lead to life and peace. It's putting God first, Matthew 6 and verse 33. Number two on this page, our goal is to be scriptural, Colossians 3 and verse 17. We want to do all things by the authority of Christ. And so we always emphasize in our devotional and every period that we have of Bible study, we emphasize the scriptures. Doing things specifically as God has authorized, and so we're trying to reverence and respect and hold up the Word of God as our standard. In fact, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 138 in verse 2 that God has exalted His Word even above His very name. Number three, our goal is to be supportive toward our college students. They're in some very perilous and difficult situations on and off campus. They're around individuals who are worldly minded. They're around professors who do not believe in the Word of God. They're around professors who do not believe in creation. And so they're tempted, and they're taught things that cause them to doubt. And so we want to be here to encourage them and to admonish them and to support them. And I think as a congregation, we are accomplishing that goal, but there are ways that we can continue to be supportive. Number four, we want to help our college students to be servants. You have a great example of Jesus doing that in John chapter 13, where he washes his disciples' feet, and he says in verse 15, "These things have I done, that you should follow my example." And so Jesus came to be a servant, and we want to instill that within our college students so that when they leave us and they go on to whatever job that they might find and wherever they might go in the world, that they always remember that Jesus wants them to be servants. Number five, our goal is simply to be saved. Everything that we do with the college program is geared toward the salvation of souls. We want all of our college students who are faithful now to be faithful in the future, and to continue to be faithful so that they might have that home in heaven. But we're also interested in all of the college students on campus who aren't here. We're interested in reaching out to them and having Bible studies with them and inviting them to come and learn about the church and Christ, who is the Son of God, and how they might have salvation through Him. Here's three things very briefly that aren't mentioned on this page that you can do to help with the college program. Number one, and probably most importantly, pray for the college program. Pray for these college students, pray for the work in general, pray for opportunities as they go about their daily life, as they're interacting with other college students, pray that they have opportunity to offer invitations. Number two, you can prepare. Many of you do that now. You're preparing food for our Monday night devotionals. In fact, the sign-up sheet for this spring semester has already filled up, and we're grateful to you. All of the meals that I have enjoyed with the college students have been absolutely wonderful. And so if you've already prepared, we're thankful for that. And it will not be too long. Fall semester will be rolling around and a new sheet will come out. And there's a great way that you can be a part of the college work. Number three, participate. You can participate in the college program. Usually, most of our college students sit somewhere in this general area. A great way to participate is just to make your way over there. In between Bible class and worship services, and greet them, shake hands with them, invite them to eat lunch with you, invite them into your home. You can participate in the Adopt a Student program or send cards of encouragement. It's a great college work. We appreciate the opportunity to work with you, and the congregation here, I think, is doing a great effort with the college students. Look on page 43, and let's transition into, finally, the youth program. Three goals are listed on page 43. The first goal there is to educate. Hosea 4 and verse 6, the prophet said, "My people are destroyed," speaking of God's people, "for a lack of knowledge." And one of the things we're trying to emphasize as the church here at Jacksonville and the youth program is education. Instilling within our young people a great knowledge of the Scripture, because that knowledge of Scripture is going to help them have a strong foundation, help them have a strong faith, Romans 10 and verse 17. That foundation of Scripture is going to prepare them for obstacles and difficulties. That foundation of Scripture will prepare them for facing temptation and for overcoming it. We understand, according to Deuteronomy 6, that the main those who are in charge of educating children are parents, and that belongs in the home. But we can do what we can as a congregation to assist in that. And so all of our Bible classes, our devotionals, those camps and things that we attend are geared toward educating and helping and assisting what is being done in the home. Number two, our goal is to encourage, Hebrews 10 and verse 24. We're interested in provoking one another to love and to good works. And so we want to encourage the youth that we have to remain faithful. They too face difficult times at school. They are surrounded by friends who are worldly, friends who have no interest in God or in Scripture. And so we want to encourage them to be faithful in the midst of those difficult situations. And then number three, and finally, we want to equip them. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. We want to give them the skills to know how to approach Scripture. The skills to know how to handle it aright. The skills to know how to study and make application to their lives so that they're learning to build their own faith. So they're not relying on the faith of their parents, but they are relying on what their study and investigation of the Scripture has proven to them. We want to equip them so that when they continue to grow and to mature, one day they can be leaders within the local congregation. Three things that you can do for the youth program. Number one, pray for it. Pray for our young people. Pray for their parents. Some of our young people give their parents a hard time. So pray for them. Pray for me and Kelly as we raise Grayson. As I don't know if you could see, but when they were asking if anyone could not see the plan of work, Grayson had his hand up, even though we had a copy, but he wanted his own. So pray for our young people and for their parents. Number two, plan to host a devotional. One of the things that we're doing in the youth program, we're having monthly devotionals, and we've been having those in the homes. And so if you would like to host a youth devotional, there are still several months that are available in the upcoming year. And so go ahead and put your name down, and we'll get with you and work out a date that's best for you, and we'll come into your home. And that's a great way to be involved in the youth program. Finally, number three, parent participation. Our youth events will be successful when we have parents who are interested in what we're doing. When parents will be willing to put spiritual things above physical things. When parents are willing to put Bible class and youth devotionals and learning of Scripture above sports and other activities, that's when the youth program will be most successful. So the best thing that can be done is parents putting God first in their life and then demonstrating that to their children. Tonight we've had a great opportunity as the elders and Alan and Luke have presented to us the plan of work. It reminds me of what happened in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. As Nehemiah heard of the city of Jerusalem and how its walls were in ruin, the first thing that he did was he went back to the city and he surveyed the problem, and then he developed a plan, and then he worked out that plan. That's what has been done. The elders and others as well have looked ahead to 2014. And they've laid out a plan of work for us. A great plan. A lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties that lie in our way. When you look at the book of Nehemiah, the Jewish people were able to build the wall around the city of Jerusalem in 52 days. Seems like almost an impossible task that they accomplish. But the answer is found in Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, where the text simply says that the people had a mind to work. They took the plan, they accepted it, they gave their mind to it, and then they put it into practice in their lives. If we will be able to carry out the plan of work that has been presented to us, it will be because the congregation here develops a mind to work. We accept it as a personal challenge, and we begin to enact it in our own life. And then we too can be successful in the Lord's work. If we will do our part, we have a God who is faithful, who will bountifully bless us, and who will give us the increase if we are planting and if we are watering. And as we're doing that, fruit will be abounding to our account, Philippians chapter 4. Maybe it is tonight that you're not a part of the Lord's church here at Jacksonville, but you're interested in becoming a part of the Lord's church so that you can be involved in the work. We would love to have you. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, we'll baptize you into Christ this very evening. And the Lord will add you to the church, and then you can be about the Lord's work. Just as Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, Luke 2 and verse 49. Maybe it is that you are a part of the Lord's church here at Jacksonville, but you haven't been engaged in the work. You've been sitting by and watching, but you haven't been active. Why not tonight? Determine. This year, I'm going to engage in the work of the church. I'm going to better myself as a servant of God, and I'm going to help someone else learn about Jesus and learn about salvation that's found within His church. Tonight, if you're in need of responding to the invitation, our Lord's invitation is open, and we encourage you to come as together we stand and as we sing.